Good morning, everyone. We're so happy to have you here on a Sunday that's above freezing. And my name is Val Carr, and I'll be your liturgist today. There are some pads at the ends of all of the pews. Please fill your name in so we can see who has worshiped with us today. If you look at the back of your bulletin, we have quite a few things going on here at Asbury. First of all, we have some Bible studies that you might be interested in. Tuesday evening, Bible basics. Wednesday morning at 6 o'clock, that's a brave group there, worshiping together. Wednesday evening at 6. And there's a ladies' study that's starting tonight, and it sounds wonderful, titled Breathe, the book titled Breathe. Tuesday, we're going to have a terrific time. We have a luncheon and entertainment by Caleb Conrad to welcome in Valentine's Day. Please come. We'd love to have you. And if you don't have a reservation, please call the church by 10 o'clock on Monday. The food will be great. On February 10th, next Sunday, we will have a bunch of Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts here. And we're happy to have them every year. We sponsor quite a few groups here. We have a wonderful addition to the church. We have a little girl, Claire Marie Guidry, born January 29th to Beth and Carrie Guidry. And she has a couple of brothers who will take good care of her, I bet, Drew and Will. Please look in the back of your bulletin for any other things that you might want to see. Now, would you like to stand and greet people who are here that you may not know? Well, before we prepare our hearts, I want to announce that the women's study does not begin tonight because something rather important is happening in Atlanta. So that's a correction. All right. Please stand for our call to worship. How we long for that day when all creation we'll join the song.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
We thank you and praise you for your presence with us here and now to strengthen us in our walk and our work with you and one another. So speak to us now through your word proclaimed among us and focus our hearts on you. We'll now sing our hymn of praise, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, page 400.
Thank you.
going to have a treat now, and I think I see them coming. If you'd like to take a seat. There they are. Would all the children come forward for the children's moments?
Glad to see you this morning. All right, so this morning, some of y'all at 8:30 got to do this, but this is stuff that we can all do, okay? All right, everybody get out your hand, okay? Make it flat, okay? This is going to be your piece of paper, all right? Here we go. Take your finger. This is going to be your Sharpie that you can't use because we don't draw on our hands. This is going to be that special pen that you've always wanted to use, but mom and dad won't let you, okay? And so what we're going to do is we're going to either draw a picture or the name of someone that we just love. Could be mom, could be dad, it could be a grandma, a grandpa, best friend, whoever. Is everybody done? Ready? Okay, done. We're going to take that hand, we're going to place it over our heart, and we are going to say love. Love. Good job. Okay, so now we're going to take our hand off, and we're going to erase it. Okay? All right, take your special pen again. And on your hand, we're going to write the name or draw a picture of someone that we are not getting along with. We may have had a fight with our best friend. We may have had a fight with a parent. We may have had a fight with a brother or sister. Someone that you are just not getting along with right now. And you write their name on your hand. Is everybody done? You're going to take that, and you're going to place it over your heart, and we're going to say the word love. Because you know what? That L-O-V-E, that first person and that second person need the same amount of love. Today, Pastor Doug is going to be talking about Joseph, and we've talked about Joseph in Sunday school, some, and in kids' club. And he's going to be talking about a time when Joseph wasn't really treated very nicely from his brothers. Do you remember what happened? What did his brothers do? Where did they put him? He was dead. He was put in a what? A well. That's right. His brothers pretended. That's right. They put him in a well because they did not really like him. That's right. But you know what? What did Joseph do in the end? They forgave him. That's right. They gave him grace. He gave him grace. Extraordinary grace. They forgave. He forgave them. So just like the second person we wrote, the person that we're not getting along with, the person that we may not like right now, we need to give them extraordinary grace and love, like Joseph did to his brothers. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for today, and we thank you for the sunshine that's outside. Remind us that we need to give a little bit of love to those we love and to those that we don't really love at this point. Give them some extraordinary grace. Remind us of that. We ask in your son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Let's give all those wonderful singers another applause. Before we lift our voices to God, let us lift the people mentioned in the back of your bulletin who need our prayers. Janet Brandt, Becky Flynn, Clifford Smith, Cammie Mackey. Please join me in today's prayer for the people. Let us pray. Father God, we come before you this morning with our whole hearts to glorify your name. By ourselves, we will fall short. But it's through your Holy Spirit that our praises and worship reach into your throne room. May all we do this morning magnify your name. We are so blessed to live in this day and time. To live in a time of the Bible means we would have lived under the law. We would have had a high priest to offer sacrifices for us on the altar. We could not enter the Holy of Holies or be in your presence. But we live under a new covenant, the covenant of grace. We can come before you with our own prayers and lay them at your feet, with our high priest, your son, sitting at your right hand. And we carry the Holy of Holies inside of us, a place where your spirit resides day and night. Yes, Father, we are blessed to live under your grace. Gracious Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who gather to worship you and do so in fear of persecution of their very lives. Watch over them, protect them from those who would do them harm, and may their prayers be as sweet as a springtime rain in your ears today. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now let us pray with and ask God to bless our morning offering. Father God, help us to never take for granted the blessings you give us, and may we never grow weary of presenting ourselves, our talents, and our offerings to you. Help us to keep a fire of gratefulness burning in our hearts always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
you stand now and join us in our hymn of meditation, Grace Greater Than Our Sin, page 365.
There have been, in the last couple of decades, a lot of research done on birth order with some quite astounding findings. For instance, an only child, if you're an only child, then you're very independent and you work on tasks by yourself. The firstborn is a rule follower. They have to be. A middle child is hard to describe. Either they're a mediator in conflict, or they can be a conflict avoider altogether. Babies of the family are found to be quite successful at fighting uphill or against the flow. With older siblings, they learn. They learn ways of working around the rules to accomplish what they need to or what they want to. Now, one of the interesting aspects of the baby of the family is their ability to handle conflict. Now, normally, they're called, and it's the same way in my family, the clown of the family, because they don't like conflict at all. And they'll inject humor into a tense situation just to alleviate the anxiety in the room. Now, in spite of their, as my brother-in-law would think of himself, charming, fun-loving personality, and I'm going to tell him to watch this on the website, they can be rebellious, and they can be critical, and they can be impetuous if they're not taken seriously. Studies have shown these aspects of birth order to be quite accurate. This morning, we're going to examine one of the babies of Jacob's family and see how the research of today just didn't fit his personality. Joseph was definitely a non-normal younger son of Jacob. If you have your Bibles with you today, we'll be turning to the book of Genesis, chapter 50, and we're going to be starting in verse 15 and reading through 20. And I just pray that God's word blesses you as it's read aloud this morning. Verse 15 of chapter 50. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all of the wrongs we did him? So they sent word to Joseph saying, your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father. When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before them. We are your slaves, they said. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. The word of God for the people of God. We know the stories. Joseph was his father's favorite, and it didn't set well with his older brothers. We can turn back in the book of Genesis in chapter 37, verse 3, and we'll find, now Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made an ornate robe for him. When his brothers saw their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Jacob loved Joseph, and he made him a special robe. Robes of that day were more utility and bland than we think about. They were used such as on a hot day, they were used for shade. Or they were being used as a blanket on a nighttime. They usually came down just below the knees and had short sleeves on them so the sleeves didn't get in the way. The robe Jacob made was ornate. It is believed to have been long-sleeved, all the way to the ground, and it had many colors instead of one plain, dark color or cloth. Only the rich and royalty of the day would wear an ornate robe of this type. But Jacob loved him so much that he made a robe for his son fit for royalty. Joseph's brothers didn't like the treatment, this special treatment, and didn't like very much the special clothing that their younger brother was wearing. As a matter of fact, they were extremely jealous of the attention Joseph received. Now, if that wasn't enough, on top of that, Joseph had a very special ability. He could interpret dreams. Not that his brothers believed him, but when he told them about a dream he had had, they had enough. This dream was about each brother working in the field, binding their grain, sheaves of grain together. And when each brother had bound their sheaves, Joseph said in his dream, all of their sheaves came and bowed down to his. Hearing this, the scripture says, they hated him all the more. Even a second dream that Joseph had had was about the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowing down to him. This dream interpreted meant his brothers, his father, and his mother would be bowing down to him. This really didn't set well with anyone. And Jacob sort of played it off to just youthful exuberance. We know that Joseph was having God-given visions of the future and how he would be in a position to save them all. Eventually, Joseph's brothers plotted against him, sold him into slavery to some Midianites that were merchants that were traveling down into Egypt, and then lied to their father, saying a wild animal had killed him, and just to make the point, they took his cloak, Scripture says, and dipped it in goat's blood. Jacob mourned at the loss of his beloved son. Joseph had a pretty good reason to hold a grudge against his brothers after all of this. You know, some might say with this entire story that God caused this bad thing to happen to Joseph. I would rather like to think God is not the author of bad things. Bad things happen to good people. But you know, God never misses an opportunity to turn bad things into miraculous endings. Joseph would rise through the house of Potiphar, be wrongly accused by Potiphar's wife of immorality, and then thrown into prison. Another reason for Joseph to hold a grudge, not only against his brothers for causing him to be in Egypt in the first place, but now against Potiphar and his wife for wrongly accusing him when he was absolutely innocent and throwing him into prison. Once again, God made lemonade out of the lemons Joseph was being given, blessing Joseph so much that he rose, as we all know, rose in the ranks and in the Pharaoh's kingdom and in his house to be second in charge of all of Egypt underneath the Pharaoh. When famine hit the region and Joseph wisely instructed grain to be stored because of a God-revealed catastrophe, Jacob, his wives, and yes, all of Joseph's older brothers and their families came to Egypt to buy grain and live in the land. When they finally recognized who was second in command and sitting on a throne, I don't know what was running through their minds, but I was sure it's something like, our goose is cooked. But not with the heart God had given to Joseph. He took care of his family. Even with all of the hatred he had experienced, all the hardships and all of the ridicule he had received when he was a younger boy, and the time he had spent in prison didn't change his heart either. As we read in this morning's scripture, when Jacob died, their father, the brothers once again plotted. They took the news to the palace and told Joseph their father had died, and Joseph wept. But they were so afraid that now their father wasn't there to protect them from Joseph's wrath, they once again lied, telling him, and I can just hear him, "Oh, brother Joseph, your father has left these instructions before he died. He said, this is what you boys are to go say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they have committed in treating you so badly." And then they pleaded with their younger brother, "Now please forgive the sins of the servant of the God of your father." Talk about laying it on thick. Man, after all they had done to Joseph And now they lied to him in an effort to save their own skin. Most of us hear the words of the queen in Alice in Wonderland when she said, "Off with their heads." And we might agree they had it coming. But Joseph did not display what present-day researchers would say a baby in the family might act like, given his treatment by his older siblings, being rebellious, critical, temperamental, spoiled, impatient, and impetuous when not taken seriously. Joseph had a heart, the only way I can describe it, a heart that was far before his time. He had a heart like Jesus. He just didn't have a heart of grace. He had a heart of extraordinary grace. When his brothers fell down before him and begged him and called themselves his slaves, he told them, "Don't be afraid." He provided for them, their families, and their children. And on top of that, Scripture told us this morning that he repaid kind words to them in spite of all of the jealous words they had spoken to Joseph when he was young. Joseph had a grace-filled heart. The question is, can we be a Joseph on our own? I can't. No way. No way I can be. Somebody treated me like that. How often have we found out people spoke badly about us and we wanted to confront them face to face right then and there and tear them up? Thank you, Bob. I'll pay you later. We didn't get sold into slavery, or we didn't get thrown into prison, but we wanted to retaliate as if we had. There is only one way that we should repay this kind of inexcusable treatment, and that's with kindness, gentleness, patience, humbleness, long-suffering. See where I'm going with this? The only way that we can do this is with a heart of grace. God-given grace. We can choose to stoke the fires of hatred when we've been wrong, or we can forgive as God has forgiven us. We sang it earlier in the hymn, in the refrain. Sing with me. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Thank you. We need to extend the grace that's been given to us. Things will turn out fine when we do. And in doing so, we'll show the love and the grace Christ gave to us when he gave his life for us and established the new covenant, a covenant of grace. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I invite you to turn to page 12 in the hymnal as we begin to prepare our hearts and our minds to receive from Christ's table, Holy Communion. Hear this invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved you. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Let us join together in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread and gave thanks. And he broke the bread. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. And he gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of my new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the whole world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all of the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. As we prepare to come and receive the elements at Christ's table, I want to remind you that this is not a United Methodist Church table. This is Christ's table. We observe open communion. You do not have to be a member of this church to receive. There is also gluten-free, that if you require gluten-free, just tell the server and we'll have it here with us. We'll also have a plate sitting out here in the center aisle for those that want to contribute to the Community Assistance Fund, those that have come to our church in dire need and need our assistance, that we help those individuals. I'd like to invite those who are going to be assisting me to come forward at this time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you that you have given us grace that we can approach your table. Father, the covenant that you established on that night with the words that you gave your disciples, you gave them to all of us. We thank you for your sacrifice for us. Help us, Lord, to love as you love us. Help us to give grace as you extended it to us. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our hymn of commitment is "I Know Whom I Have Believed." Hymn number 714. Let us stand and sing together. If those who are here this morning that like to unite with this church, now is the time for you to come forward, and we will welcome you in whatever is appropriate means. We'll welcome you into this church. If you'd like to spend some additional time at the prayer rail, it is always open for you. If you'd like someone to pray with you, it'd be an honor to do so. Let us sing together. After this morning's message, for all of us, everybody here, I think we know what our marching orders are, to go out and extend that grace that's been extended to us. We don't have a choice. We can receive grace. We have to pass that on. God's commanded for us to do that. Spread His word, but do it through grace and love. Now, the love of God, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you all today and through this week. Amen.